Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 9, we'll read the first three verses. "And he said unto them, Verily or truly, I say unto you, that there be some that stand here which shall not taste of death or not see death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured, or changed in appearance, before them. And his raiment or clothes became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller on earth can white them." And I know last time we read this in Matthew chapter 17, but we're also going to take a look at Luke's account. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the song says, I need thee every hour. O Lord, I need thee. Father, we need thee. Please help us to see Jesus Christ in all his glory, in all his majesty, so that we'd follow him with our whole hearts. Help us to understand the text today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we looked at this last time. And our topic in this series is John the Baptist. And it's my desire to take a look at just about every scripture we can find that has to do with John the Baptist. Just as we'll look at Mark and Matthew and Luke when it describes the events on the Mount of Transfiguration, I want to take a look at everything the Bible has to say about John the Baptist. And our direction is to get to Matthew chapter 11 to pick up our study in that great book. But just as last time in Matthew 17, we see that Jesus takes three disciples, goes up on the mountain, and we understand that Jesus, he left heaven, he was born of the Virgin, he was born a human baby, and lived his life as a man. But we also know that he's God. But he came in the form of a man. Philippians says that he humbled himself. He laid aside the expression of his deity and became a man. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, these three disciples saw him as God. As God standing there before them. And it says his appearance changed. He was transfigured, it says, before them. in Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. He took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. But I was trying to focus on Jesus is the light last time. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And I'm going over this again and stressing it again for a purpose. Again, his face did shine as the sun. We'll see that when we get to the book of Malachi. But Jesus, he's the light. And though for 33.5 years or however long he appeared as a man, and in fact no different from any other man, save that he was also God, when we see him again, when Jesus comes back, he won't be riding on a donkey. He'll be riding on a charger. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 19, that Christ returns in glory, it says. He returns, and his appearance is that of God. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. John chapter 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide or live in darkness. That's how the Christian should be, not in darkness, not in sin, not in drug addiction, or in the bars, chasing women or whatever, or gossiping, or lying, or stealing, or whatever. We shouldn't have anything to do with that lifestyle anymore. We shouldn't live in darkness, but we should live in light. We should live as new creatures, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says. I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not live any longer in darkness. But let's move on. In verse 4 here of Mark 9, and there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, Luke's account in chapter 9, verse 30 and 31, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who also appeared in glory. They had their glorified body that Paul and others talk about. They too were bright, but they were lesser lights. We understand that later on, after the cloud came and the voice spoke, that when the disciples got up off the ground and looked around, there wasn't anybody else except Christ. He's the great light. We ought to hear him. We ought to focus on him. We ought to live for him. He's Lord, and we're his servants, and so is Moses and Elijah. They're just servants. They're dead, or Moses is. Elijah went to heaven, but Moses is dead. But as Jesus said, I believe it was in John, that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. If we give our lives to Christ and make Him Lord, we'll live forever. One day we'll go to heaven and live forever. And we'll get to talk to Moses and Elijah and David and Gideon and whoever else we want to. We'll get to talk to Peter or whoever we want to, because all of God's servants, all of God's children are alive. Death. It's a painful thing. Nobody likes death. Nobody likes to go to the funeral home. I mean, yeah, we get to see Uncle so-and-so we ain't seen in 20 years. But honestly, we wish we weren't at the funeral home. They'll put us in the ground, but one day we're coming out. One day Jesus is coming back, and all of the faithful, all that live for Him, they're going to be resurrected. Thank God, thank God, thank God, death is not forever. But we can have eternal life as we trust in Christ and live for Him. But again, this verse here in Luke chapter 9, verse 30 and 31, "And behold, there appeared unto him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." These two came from heaven for a number of reasons. One was for the benefit of the disciples. Yes, they believed in Christ. Yes, they knew the scriptures. Yes, all of this stuff. But it's nice to have some reassurance. And they were certainly reassured that these things were true when they saw Jesus as bright as the sun. And these two guys from the Old Testament, they're alive. They're alive in heaven, and they came down and talked with him. They weren't dead, but they were alive. Again, it was a great comfort to them, a great strengthening of their faith. And all of that's great. That's wonderful. But it's what they talked about that makes me happy. They talked. They came down from heaven to fellowship with Christ and talk about Jesus' death, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. They came to talk of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection and ascension and etc. They came to talk about the work that Jesus was sent down to earth to do, to die for the sins of the world. But again, Moses and Elijah. And we'll see these two guys again as we study Malachi chapter 4. But Peter, and we went over this, but Peter answered and said, "Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll have a good time." But he was really stalling. It says in verse 6, "For he didn't know what to say. He wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid." They saw Jesus appear as bright as the sun. Oh, and Moses and Elijah appeared too. And they were afraid. And out of fear and whatever, Peter just said something because he didn't know what to say. And sometimes when I study the Word of God and I'm in the Old Testament or Proverbs or somewhere and I see something I've never seen before, I don't know what to say. I'm amazed as I study and astonished at the goodness of God, the provision of God. I'm so glad that we have a Bible that God gave us that we can study. And sometimes it leaves me speechless. But we know the rest of this story, that the cloud came, the voice spoke, "Hey, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And the next thing they knew, Jesus was there, and his appearance returned as normal, as they had always known. But the cloud was gone, Moses and Elijah were gone, and it was just Jesus and themselves. But in verse 9, it says that they came down the mountain. And as they came down the mountain, he charged them that they should tell nobody. Don't tell nobody what you just saw. Don't tell any man until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. You know, after this, after the Mount of Transfiguration, he began to openly discuss, to his disciples at least, how he would suffer and die. He continued to preach like he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, but after he revealed himself to be God come in the flesh, he began to tell of what he would suffer. But he said, look, don't tell anybody what you've just seen until after all of that is accomplished. Then you can tell it as much as you want. But it says in verse 10 that they kept these sayings within themselves. But they talked with one another. Hey, what does that mean? He's going to rise from the dead. I don't understand. Because they didn't understand. They didn't understand. They all knew the story of Daniel and the lion's den. How that Daniel was put into the cave of the lions, or den of lions, or whatever it was. And then the entrance was blocked. And the next morning the king came out and says, "Hey, Daniel!" And Daniel said, "Hey, king, I'm still alive." The disciples all knew the story of Joseph, that he was thrown into that well and then lifted out. They all knew of Jeremiah, who was put in the well and suffered and lifted out. They all knew these stories, these types of the resurrection, these Bible stories that prophesied and foreshadowed the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They all knew these stories just as we know them, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand. In one place it says that the things of God are spiritually discerned. To understand the Bible, to actually understand it, you can study, and you can study, and you can study, and you can hear all these sermons, and you can get Strong's Concordance and Vines, and you can get commentaries. And all of that is good, and all of that is necessary. But the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding. And eventually the disciples did understand. And I've preached on it before in Luke chapter 24. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He walked with them for 7.5 miles, it says. However long that took, couple of hours, whatever. And he explained the scriptures and explained the scriptures and explained the scriptures. And finally they understood who it was. Finally they had understanding. And then he vanished out of their sight. But they turned one to another and says, "Man, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us along the way and explained the Word of God to us? Our heart was burning. That's the Holy Spirit, and it's the Spirit that gives understanding. But back to our text. They went up on the mountain, they saw Christ transfigured. They heard the conversation of Moses and Elijah talking about Christ's death. They didn't understand it. And Jesus says, hey, you know, don't worry about that right now. Don't tell anybody what you saw until I actually do rise from the dead. But then in verse 11, 12, and 13, here in Mark chapter 9, they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Now that's interesting. I don't believe that they all had a Bible like we do today. Every one of us has or should have a Bible and read it once in a while or something. But in the synagogues and whatever Bible school they had, surely they went over all the books of the Bible. Surely they had read Malachi chapter 4. But they said, hey, Jesus, why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? They didn't say, hey, we don't understand it, but what did Malachi mean? No, they said, why did the scribes talk about Elijah? That's an interesting thing. We ought to base our understanding of theology and Christianity and whatever, we ought to base it on the Bible and not our favorite teacher. We ought to be good Bereans and do what they did. They said, hey, Paul, that's a great sermon, and we want to hear more, but let me see that Bible you're reading out of. And if it was scrolls or parchment or whatever it was, papyrus, whatever, they took the scrolls themselves, and they read themselves. I mean, anybody can trust the Apostle Paul, I suppose, but as great as his exposition and teaching was, they wanted to read it for themselves. I'm not afraid of the Bible. I do my best to study. I do my best to pray and to prepare. But occasionally I make mistakes. But I'm not afraid of the Bible. By all means, check what I say. I hope that I'm a good preacher. But don't take my word for it. Go to the Bible yourself. Go to the Bible yourself and make sure that what I say and what your pastor says and what that guy on the radio or television that you like, make sure that what he says lines up with the Bible. But it says they asked him, saying, why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Before the end, in other words. And he answered and told them, Elijah truly must come first and restore all things. Oh, and by the way, how it's written about the Son of Man, or Christ himself, that he too must suffer many things, and to be set at naught or killed. But I say unto you that Elijah has indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Elijah came, and they did whatever they wanted to him. They abused him. They mocked him. Matter of fact, he was beheaded. He was beheaded because he preached against sin. He preached, hey, this is righteousness. Hey, the Bible says this is how you ought to live. And because of it, he lost his head. But the disciples asked, hey, what about Elijah? And Jesus identifies Elijah with John the Baptist and talks of how John suffered and how Elijah suffered and how he himself would suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, Jesus said, and if you will receive it, John the Baptist is Elijah, which was for to come. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.